help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 1109. Come, weary souls with sin distressed, come and accept the promised rest, the gospel's gracious call obey, and cast your gloomy fears away. Hymn 1109.
Let us read the word of God in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together to for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us each, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, do give us each a breath of real prayer. Oh, do help us, Lord, whether we pray audibly or silently. And Lord, for one seeking to pray audibly, do give him a voice, Lord, to speak and preach and pray, Lord. Lord, do come, Lord, among us here. And now as we gather together with our friends who we've known and loved and love in thee, have done so many years. Oh, thou hast blessed us here many times, Lord. Thou hast favoured us and the dear friends in statedly worshipping here. Lord, we come together as poor sinners. Oh, we come in our need. We come, Lord, seeking thee, seeking thy mercy, seeking grace to help in time of need. And now, as Lord, each of thy dear servants feel that every sermon is a great time of need. Lord, it is as a mountain before them. It is as a mountain before one now. But Lord, as we were speaking to a dear friend when we arrived this morning, and acknowledging the Lord, how there the Lord did come. On that occasion we preached to the friends here from those words in the prophecy of Isaiah. Oh, how thou didst so give it, Lord, and all the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. And Lord, how we've proved it, how we do prove it. But Lord, as we come this morning, thou knowest we come feeling need that thou was confirmed the text, Lord. And now as though we've had this many times coming to the friends here, and our dear friend and brother has been led in prayer to so wonderfully confirm it. Oh, we pray for that quickening, Lord. Quicken us. We trust we can say, oh, we trust we have that favour that thou hast quickened us together with Christ. But we do pray it may be confirmed, Lord, in us in this time of our being together in these services today. We pray for thy quickening grace in us and upon us each. Oh, quicken souls, Lord, we pray for this, for those that may be still dead in sin. Quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. And Lord, those of us who have been in the way, and some of us many, many years, oh, do quicken us. We feel so much our deadness, Lord, our coldness. We feel so much our burden of sin and guilt. We feel so unlike thy people through indwelling sin. Sin is within me, Lord, and all about me. Oh, do look in mercy upon us, Lord. Oh, do grant us, Lord, that favour, a prayer of faith to come to thee. We're sick in sin, Lord. We're sin sick. But Lord, in James we read wonderful words. Oh, how thou wilt work and bless thy people. Oh, how thy people that know this sickness, oh, this sadness, oh, they shall be blessed. Lord, do grant us a favour. Oh, thou wilt quicken us. And may we feel the favour of liveliness in faith with hope and love. As we come before thee now, may we be led into the favours of the wonders of redeeming love. Oh Lord, we come to those words in reading, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, Lord. Oh Lord, may we know today thee, thou great God, thou good and gracious God, who art rich in mercy. And oh, may we know in experience, by experience, the great love wherewith he loved us. Lord, do come today and shed abroad the Saviour's love in these cold hearts of ours. Oh, come to us each, Lord. Each of us, Lord, that are alive unto thee by thy grace. Oh, may we have great thankfulness. Oh, may we feel great gratitude for thy wonderful saving mercy. By grace are ye saved through faith. Oh, Lord, do grant us to feel the favour of it, the blessedness of it. And, Lord, do so come to each one, Lord, who knowest us, Lord, as one has felt poorly these last few days. The Lord, who knoweth our begging, that we might still be able to come to our friends here. Lord, we do pray it may be proved of thy divine appointment here today, Lord. Hear the prayer of our dear brother. Oh, when we feel so blessed to be led close to him and in unity with him, Lord. How he has been to us as such a help as thou hast given him to pray in ways that have been so applicable to our case and our need. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, who has restored him. Oh, following his accident, he was very afflicted with pain. But Lord, thou hast wonderfully helped him and restored him. We bless thee, Lord, we thank thee, who has so blessed and helped our dear brother. Lord, we too pray for our other dear brother, our dear servant, the deacon, away on holiday, and his dear one. Oh, we know they are hoping to be, we expect that they're there at that little cause in Norwich, that place where we were took when we were a very young boy, a young child. We were taken there, and we've known the place all those years of our lives since when we think we were about 5 years old. Lord, it was just after the war. It may have been 6 years old. But, oh, as we look at our photo taken then, taken during that stay in the holiday resort, Lord, near there, and, oh, we look at our photo, seeing ourselves as a little boy, a few years later with a broken arm. Thou knowest, Lord, how we look back all those years to that cause of truth that we love. Oh, that blessed spot. Lord, and to think that many years hence we were called to preach there, and how thou hast blessed the word there. Oh, we would acknowledge it, Lord, without taking praise to ourselves. But, Lord, we do beg for them they may have a blessed day. They may know thy favour, thy love, and blessing, Lord, thy presence. Bless them to have a good rest and change, we pray. And any others that are away on holiday, Lord, we remember. And Lord, do be with each and all. We pray for all our friends. We pray for all thy people, even throughout the world, all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. We pray for them, Lord. And too, we pray, Lord, for those who you speak, Lord, of those other sheep thou hast, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Lord, we do pray for thy dead elect, that will quicken them. Oh, we believe thou wilt. Thou wilt quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Oh, we do look, Lord, for thy work to appear. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And Lord, are there those here whom thou hast appointed according to thy covenant love? Thou hast appointed thou must call them, any that are dead in sin, Lord, still. Oh, we pray for their quickening according to thy will. Thou wilt work in this way. Oh, we know it's a solemn experience to be quickened into newness of life, and yet it is a most blessed favour. Oh, Lord, do quicken any dead in sin here. Oh, them knoweth the young people. Oh, it may be even one or another older, Lord. We know we can go on in the darkness of nature, even attending the word of God, the house of God, all our lives and not yet be quickened. Lord, there have been some cases like this. Oh, that knoweth how it is such a need, Lord, if it's thy will, thou wilt do it according to thy covenant love. Oh, we pray, Lord, that any in unconcern might be made concerned. They might be made to have a case. Any that do not have a case, they may be brought to need thee. Oh, Lord, we think of one of thy servants long gone home to glory, Lord. But how he used to ask the question, are you poor enough to need him? Oh, may the dear friends here, each and every one, be made poor enough to need thee. Oh, it's perfect poverty too, Lord. Perfect poverty alone, which in thy purpose and will cause the soul, the character to be in thy time set at large. Oh, forgiven, pardon. Oh, Lord, this is what we seek for. Oh, so bless souls today. Those are quickened, O Lord, may they be earnest in seeking thee. May we not, any of us, neglect thy great salvation. May we be in diligence, Lord, to make our calling and election sure. And Lord, too, we think some friends are among us who are visiting. Do be with them, Lord, who knoweth a dear sister in the faith has made this known to one in the week. Lord, oh, we do pray for each soul here who will command a blessing to them, for them, in them, Lord. Thou wilt bless them, will bless them indeed, will do them good, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, thy church, thy people. Oh, we pray, Lord, blessed things may be done here in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. The Holy Spirit working. Lord, we have read, new hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We know it's the work and operation of the Spirit to quicken, Lord. We pray for this. There might be those things of thy favour so given us to know and experience here whilst we're in the house of God, in these services of this thy day, Lord. Oh, we pray for all our friends, us, that we may be in diligence, Lord. We may not be in neglectfulness, but that we might be earnest in desire to praise thee. Lord, we have many mercies to acknowledge. We're not in a deserved hell. Thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Lord, thou hast been so kind and gracious to us. Those of us who have known and tasted redeeming love, Lord, especially, we have much to acknowledge of thy loving kindness, of thy tender mercies, of thy great goodness to us. Oh, amazed at his goodness, I fall to the ground and weep to the praise of the mercy I found. May many here be in such a place, such a state today. So do come, Lord, and give us here real worship of thee, Lord, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, do come and grant us all we need. We pray especially for the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit may take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us, Lord. We do pray for this, thou knowest, Lord. Oh, thou knowest our feelings, our concern, our need, our exercise, Lord. We pray we may be under the influence of the Spirit all the day long. Lord, we covet what John testified. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, may many of us, may each of us, could it please thee, Lord, be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and we may have a true spirit of worship and praise and honour and glory of thee, Lord. Oh, we may ever be in concern as the psalmist was, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for his mercy and his truth's sake. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for those in authority over us. We pray we might rightly acknowledge them and pray for them. We pray for our Prime Minister. We pray for His Majesty the King. We pray, Lord, thou wilt in mercy still look upon us in England, Lord. We pray in wrath, remember mercy. For surely, solemnly, we have sown to the wind, and we are reaping the whirlwind. But, O Lord, we implore thy mercy. We confess our national sins. Oh, we pray too that thou wilt in mercy look upon the whole world, thou knowest the terrible conflicts going on. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the wars. We are very concerned, Lord, we fear those wars may escalate. Oh, we pray we might not be left to slavish fear. But, Lord, we do pray with much concern that thou would in mercy work to bring an end to these hostilities. Oh, the terrible loss of life, the terrible judgment it is upon the world. Lord, we know and would ever acknowledge thou art never the author of sin. But those words we read in the prophecy of Isaiah search us very much and solemnly cause us to tremble before thee. Lord, thou hast said, I will punish the world for sin. But too, Lord, we know that thou art merciful and gracious to thy people. Judgments upon the whole world, thy people knowing much of thy chastening. But Lord, oh, we fall before thee. Oh, we believe the government is still upon thy shoulders. Oh, we pray, Lord. We plead thy word, Lord. Thy word states, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. Lord, we pray, we'll hear our cries, our prayers, Lord. So much we are in need of, so much we are concerned about. Lord, look in mercy upon us and help us now. We may worship thee in spirit and in truth, Lord. Do grant us all the enabling. We pray, Lord, thus do see thy blessing to each case, Lord, we beg. And bless the further singing of thy praises. Oh, where we did feel the first hymn so good, so close to our own feeling, our own need. And Lord, oh, we pray, may be thy purpose to attend to cases here today, to do sinners good, and thereby to get to thyself all the honour and glory which is due unto thee, our God. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 602. Jesus the author is of true and living faith. This blessed grace he gives and saves our souls from death. By faith in him we live and view the wonders God alone can do. Hymn 602.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to consider with me some words we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and the verses 8 and 9. These are the words that came to me on Wednesday, friends, and I found following that, it seemed the adversary was saying to me, you preach from Ephesians, that second chapter in Ephesians, to the friends at Swabersey before, not long ago. But I said to the Lord, well, if they're thy words for Swabersey, do keep them. And then I thought, well, I'll mark them in my Bible. They've been marked since Wednesday, friends, in my Bible. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved. If we look, as we have read, we know, and we look back to the fifth chapter, friends, the fifth verse, it says, by grace ye are saved. But here in the eighth verse it says, for by grace are ye saved. So if there's any soul here who thinks they should get to heaven in any other way but by God's grace, you cannot. Oh, the statement in the fifth verse is important. There's no other way. There's none other name given among men, no other name than Jesus Christ. By grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And think of him, friends. Though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. If any think that they can get to heaven in any other way, and being blessed to know the way of salvation by divine substitution, which is that the Son of God has taken all the punishment upon himself and suffered in the ruined place instead of his people, bore the curse, suffered the hell due for the church. Oh, that's the way, the only way of salvation is by divine substitution. And oh, you've sung in the hymn regarding the eye of faith. Oh, the eye of faith to behold the Lord, to see Jesus in the sinner's place. Heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame. Oh, to eye the Saviour is such a favour. It's only those who have the eye of faith who will see the Saviour, know and believe in him as their only Saviour. The only hope of Israel, God's spiritual Israel, is Jesus Christ and all what he has done. And so, friends, this that is stated in the eighth verse, I hope we can understand it and receive it as it is, as the word states, for by grace are ye saved. It's the positive way it applies to the children of God, God's people. They will acknowledge it. God acknowledges it. It's his word. By grace are ye saved. Oh, yes, the statement in the fifth verse is important to reflect upon and remember. For it states, by grace are ye saved. No other way, none other name given among men, whereby we must be saved. What is this grace? It's the grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is, in the highest sense, God doing for and in his people what none other can do. I think of how it is, and of course, a great and wonderful part of the wonderful salvation of God is redemption. Oh, God's people they are to be redeemed. God chose them ere time began. They are sinners, they have to be convicted, convinced of their sin. They have to come to confess their sin, to repent of their sin. This is all under the favour of the grace of God. But then, of course, oh, the highest theme of grace is the sacrifice of Christ. Oh, the sufferings of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. What he has done, what he's gone through. Friends, what he has gone through for you, if you are blessed with a hope in his mercy. Oh, the favour, like one other time we come to you, preach to you, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Friends, oh, by grace, for by grace, notice the way the statement is, for grace are ye saved. I believe in a way of positive statement. It is a statement of the state and the case of the child of God. Now, friends, we're living in time. We're fast hastening on. You know, we're going on fast toward the end of our journeys. Oh, we must all die and be as water spilled upon the ground. And we read in the word, it is appointed, those words in Hebrews 9, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. But friends, oh, if we do not know what follows at that judgment day, we're going to be cast away. If you're not blessed to know your interest in the Saviour's blood, oh, if we die without knowing our interest in the Saviour's blood, without being blessed to know and taste redeeming love. For when I stated about redemption, friends, you go to, I think it's the 49th Psalm, and it says, none can redeem his brother or redeem another. Can't redeem a brother or a sister. We can't do anything to towards our own salvation. Oh, we are hopeless and helpless in our state of sin. But, oh, God is able to save. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And all this favour is brought by the Spirit to the people, the cases that God has to so work in to save. The way of God beginning his work is quickening them into life. We're all dead in sin by nature. But the Lord begins by the work of the Spirit in his people. He quickens souls and makes them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Are you brought to be a quickened soul, friends? Oh, the grace of God. The way of God's saving grace is he saves us from that state of being in ruin, in the state of the ruins of the fall. He saves us from that state of darkness of nature by quickening us into newness of life. You will, in concern that God works in you, gives you, you will ask the question, am I quickened by his Spirit? Oh, am I quickened? You will know you are quickened, friends, by the concern you have. You will know you are one who God's quickened, and he's quickened you because he loves you. You'll know you're a quickened soul, you're a living soul, you're a child of God, by the concern the Holy Spirit has brought you to be in need of salvation. Oh, is it with you to say, none a Saviour more could need. Deeds of righteousness I'm none. No, not one good work to plead. Are you there, friends? Has God brought you to be there? He's called you by grace, if he has. It's by grace you are saved from that state of darkness of nature, that state of deadness. You know, we were all dead in sin. But oh, we trust there are a goodly number of us here quickened. But our concern is for any that are not quickened. If you're not quickened into newness of life, well, you won't have any concern about your never-dying soul. You know, friends, we're not like the animals. Oh, the animals do not have a soul. Oh, the spirit of the beast goeth downwards. The spirit of the man goeth upwards. You know, as soon as a person dies, their soul returns to God who gave it. And friends, we each have a never-dying soul. And what is the fact is, a never-dying soul will live forever. But friends, like it was when we preached many years ago to a young child, a young boy, saying eternity is forever and ever, we were saying in preaching. And the Lord drove that home into that young lad's heart. And now he is a minister of the gospel and a pastor. But friends, the way of the Spirit is to quicken dead sinners into life. If we're still dead in sin, we're going along towards eternal perdition, eternal punishment, an eternal state of hell, being in hell forever. If we're never quickened, we will be. The wicked shall be cast into hell with all nations that forget God. We're all wicked by nature. We don't feel that wickedness. I think of when I was a young boy, and like my mother and father took me on holiday to Hemsby, and we went each year to Norwich two Lord's Days, and for 13 years I was dead in sin in those years. Went taken to chapel, but didn't like regularly to Hope Chapel Stockport, but didn't know anything spiritually. Are you like that? Is it that you know you're in chapel? You know you, as your parents have taught you, you should keep the Lord's Day and not do work on the Lord's Day and not do anything pleasurable, even just for games or pleasure or anything like that on the Lord's Day. You've been brought up well. They've taught you well. They've taught you as much as they can. They can't save your soul. None of us can save a loved one's soul. You need God's salvation. Now, are you concerned for it? Are you really being brought to feel need of salvation? And who is it? It's by grace, as we read in the fifth chapter, by grace it says, by grace ye are saved, no other way. Are you being brought to be in concern, to be in the secret of this grace, God's grace, the grace of God, oh, God's salvation for his people? By grace ye are saved. Friends, each of you, any of you that may be in such a state I've just tried to describe, oh, the Saviour is able to save the worst of sinners. Yes, the very worst of sinners, who upon his grace rely, shall of endless bliss be winners, and shall sing beyond the sky songs of praises to the Lamb that wants to die. Oh, you may have, I put it to you like this, you may have done something, or may have done a lot of things, and you know they're wrong, they're sins. And they may appear to you, if God has begun to deal with you, as very sad and solemn sins, bad sins. But friends, he's able to save you from them. He's able to blot them out. He's able to speak pardon. He's able to forgive. He is able. He's able to save, as I said, unto the uttermost. You know, the words that come to me as I've told you before, to raise me to a hope. Well, that was those words of the hymn writer. It begins on a high note of praise and speaking of the gospel and so on. And then you go along in the hymn and it comes to this, the vilest sinner, out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And when the Lord so vests me with under that theme, it's not the word of God, but it's a good theme. Oh, he gave me to have a little hope. He raised me to a hope. And I was saying to myself, well, I'm a vile sinner, but I do feel my need. And I do feel my need of salvation. I need Jesus. I need to know my interest in God's great salvation. I was raised to a hope by those words, friends. And you know, if you're in such a state this morning, there's mercy for sinners. There's hope for the helpless, the hopeless. You may be and will be hopeless in yourself, but God gives, he grants the favour of hope. He gives the child of God to begin to have hope, hope in his mercy, hope in that way, under the work of the Spirit in you, God raising you to a hope. And I tell you this, I believe this, I know it by experience, that when God raises a soul to a hope in his mercy, Christ becomes exceedingly precious. Friends, oh, you can test how you stand under the question by using the question in consideration. What think you of Christ? Is he precious? Is he the one thing needful? Now, if you are brought by grace to be quickened into life, brought by grace as God goes on to work to be condemned under his law, and brought by grace to be so condemned and guilty and expecting damnation, oh, saying before God, if my soul were sent to hell, God's righteous law approves it well. Oh, you're being shown this, friends. But oh, the way of God is to so do this in his people. And oh, Christ, as I said, is made so precious. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. And you say to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, make me heedful. Help me in his name to trust. And God's purpose and way of his dealings with his people is to bring each one into that favour, to have trust in the Lord, to trust in Jesus Christ. And oh, coming to this, friends, I know what God does. He will do it in every one in some measure. He will bring each one to have no confidence in the flesh. Paul, in his wonderful way, he writing to the Philippians, he says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. And that means, I believe, that God will show us that we cannot trust in self or anything. It's not self or something base. We cannot. It's such a faith ungrounded to have faith in self. It's a dead faith. It's not living faith. But living faith will cause the child of God to look to Jesus Christ and seek to know and taste of his wonderful love, to pray, oh Lord, forgive. Oh, hear me, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive my sins, Lord. Oh, you pray to the Saviour, the Son of God, who was here on earth, who did all needed here on earth to save the church, brought in that everlasting righteousness for the church, fulfilled the whole law of God in this purpose of his purpose to grant that righteousness to be brought in for the church, and redeem the church by sacrificing of himself, shedding his vital blood, paying the price, friends, for sin. The price for sin was the Holy Heart's blood of the Son of God, the blood of God, divine blood. Not all the blood of bulls and goats, a Jewish altar slave, could give the guilty conscience peace, nor wash away the stain, but Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. The sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they, the most richest blood, the blood of God, divine blood. That was the price of redemption for the church, friends. This is how we're saved. We're saved by that payment made, the law fulfilled by Christ in the way of his spotless obedience, and then the redemption for the church, the payment made, that sacrifice he made of himself. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is it given you by the Spirit to be blessed and know and experience this and be in the favour of believing? Like it is in that way, it states as wonderful, the wonderful buts in the context of the epistles are wonderful. But God, who is rich in mercy, let us read the third and the fourth and the fifth verses. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Friends, and can you go on? Can we enter into it? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. As I was begging early this morning and praying that our friend might confirm the text, I said, Lord, if he confirms any part from the beginning to the text that we have on our spirit, that will confirm us. And our dear friend, your dear deacon, I think it was three times in his hymn he pleaded for quickening. He pleaded, confessing his feeling of deadness, dryness, pleaded for quickening. We have the Spirit, friends. The Holy Spirit is here, the Lord is here. In the Lord's presence is here. And he's working, I believe. And I believe he's going to do things today that shall be for eternity for some soul, maybe more than one. Have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith. The favour. Such a great favour. We cannot estimate and put a value upon grace. God's grace. I remember Mr. Warboys, our late friend, Mr. Ralph. How he saw a big board with the word grace on it when he was going to preach at a local chapel in Bedfordshire. And so he preached on grace that day. One word he saw on this big board. I don't know if it's there then, but it's near to Eden Soken area. It's near its area. His journey was across Bedfordshire. Friends, you know the statement of grace is so high, it's so holy, and yet it's so blessedly made known and given to God's people. To be such a wonder of wonders, grace, what is grace? It's the free, unmerited favour of God, the love of God, the way of God making his love divinely known, as one of the hymns says it. God's got a way of making love divinely known, and his way is by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that blessed person who exercises the child of God, brings the child of God into the favours of grace. They to know grace abounding, for it shall abound over all our follies and our faults. Friends, faith and hope and love is all of God's grace, the graces of the Spirit. And so, friends, by grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith, the favour of believing, in Jesus Christ. You know what was so importantly clear with all those sacrifices offered? It stated they could not make the comers thereunto perfect. Nothing but the sacrifice of Christ can save a soul, can make the comers thereunto perfect, they that come to Jesus. Oh, those words. Oh, we preached from some many years back now at Oakington. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. This is the invitation of grace. This is a favour that God grants to those he's begun to work in. Come unto me, the Saviour says. And what is it you need? You need to feed, you need to drink. Drink at my spring head. Leave all your guilty self behind. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden. You know what it was with me when I was quickened into life and brought into concern and brought to be trembling before God in, under conviction of sin. I was trying to be better. I come to be labouring to try not to sin. But now I found I couldn't be holy. I couldn't stop sinning. And you may be there, all ye that labour and heavy laden, because you cannot stop sinning. Oh, you cannot. You've got such a weight on your back. Dear Percy, who used to come here and have time with our friends, he said to me one day when I was preaching there at Staplehurst before I preached, he said, I've got someone on my back, I can't get him off. Oh, he felt the weight of his sin, friends. He was heavy laden. Oh, heavy laden is a blessing, really. It is. Oh, we don't like it by nature. It's painful to the flesh. Oh, everything is painful to the flesh of God's dealings with us by the work of the Spirit. Oh, we don't want it. Our old nature, our wicked natural hearts, would be rid of it. We would be in that pleasure, in that ease, that carnal ease, according to the ways of the old nature. Yeah, do you understand this, friends? You have an old nature still. When you're quickened, when we're quickened, we've got a new heart given us. But oh, what will be a proof? The reality of how we are now. There's a conflict that goes on betwixt the powers of grace and sin. And so, by grace, are you saved? Because God knows everything about the trouble, the tribulation, the affliction you have of sin. And he is in his purpose working to bring you into the favours of his love and grace. Oh, the favour God has in purpose for those he's quickened. He has the purpose to go on to be gracious, and to bring them into the favours of tasting, knowing and tasting his holy redeeming love. Oh, to know the love of God, the love of Christ. Oh, to know that God loves his people. But friends, when we're in concern, brought to be concerned about our souls, about eternity, about the fact that our souls will live forever and be either in hell or in heaven. I say it that way round because that's our first state in prospect. Here we are by nature. We're going along toward eternal perdition, if grace prevent not. But those God loves, he will cause to be brought to be saved. By grace are ye saved. And as I said, saved from that darkness of nature, that dead state we were in by God quickening us. And then by God going on to be gracious to teach us. And yes, friends, he may, and I know this, and I know many have had it. You see, after I was quickened, I was killed under God's law. And then, and thus in a state, killed in a state of living death, in a state of being killed under God's law. And that's a deep, deep experience, friends. But where God brings a soul into such an experience, and I want to be careful, but I believe God brings some of his people particularly into such a deep place as that. I know some of the Lord's servants have been in it. A deep place of hopelessness, killed under the law of God. And for those time, it was long, long months with me. I was under that state of deadness, killed, a different deadness to the deadness of nature. Sure, the child of God is alive, but they're killed under the law. Ministers, some have had this. It may be any two that are yet to be sent out into the ministry will maybe in this, killed under the law. But yet it was God had purpose to raise one up. We had the first raising up, which was, as I said, under those that theme of the hymn writer. Then further favours, and then the blessing of pardon and peace, the liberty of the gospel. But oh, you may reflect back in your meditation. I know when I was long years in exercise for the ministry, I much looked back and meditated upon those things we'd experienced earlier in experiences. And that time of being killed under the law was much remembered and very solemn, and yet very wonderfully the Lord brought us up out of it. The Lord knows the cases here. Oh, may you know the favour, that wonderful liberty that God has purpose to bring his people into. There are those of us here who have been blessed with gospel liberty. Oh, we can recommend the favour of it, friends, in the way preaching it. It is such a favour. Oh, may God give you earnest for the highest blessings of his word, the blessings of the gospel, the favours of pardon and peace, which are in God's will and purpose for his people to experience. Oh, he has a purpose to bless them, to know and taste redeeming love. And if we go on reading in this blessed chapter, it's a blessed chapter. I thought back, friends, when I read it. I needed to read it at the Harp in the Gnome once. And our late dear beloved friend John Stevens was there and his wife. And I heard him whisper when I announced the chapter, "That's a blessed one," he said. He whispered it to his wife. Well, I don't want to take any praise to myself for that, friends, but see how that dear man felt. Oh, is it blessed to you, these things in this chapter, friends? Oh, in this whole book, really? Oh, yes, we would not single out one part of the word and say it's more blessed than another. God may use every part. Oh, but friends, whatever is used in your case will be very precious, very wonderful to you. But by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You would have heard me state it, mention it, what the psalmist said, not unto us. We have to learn that more and more, friends. It's not unto us, and it's not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. No. It is the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith. And that's faith in the bleeding Lamb. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith. Faith in God. Oh yes, you will. I hope I've learned it. I hope God's taught me it. You will live and desire to live to the praise of your triune God. Your triune Jehovah. A triune Jehovah we bless. In essence, eternally one. One God bless you forevermore. Oh, our God. To know God. Think of the words in your high priestly prayer. To know thee, the only true God. And Jesus Christ, to whom they were sent. Oh, is it in you like this to know my Jesus crucified? By far excels all things beside. It comes to this point above everything, really, friends. Before we go on, it comes to this point. Oh, to test our cases. What think you of Christ? Now, is he precious? Now, is he the one thing needful? Now, is he thy transport and thy trust? Is he, friends, thy all and in all? Jesus, my all. To heaven is gone. And you know, friends, it will be, of course, much granted you to consider him, like we said. All what he attended to when he was here on earth. Oh, how he was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And now, as we read in Isaiah 53, oh, how he was so given to be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It just comes to me, I must deliver it. You may be despised in your workplace. You may be despised in company you have to be in. You may be. But you, if you are, and God give you tenderness of exercise and exercise of faith, like we have it here in the Word and in your Lord, if he truly is your Lord, your Saviour, your Lord Jesus Christ, well, he was despised. He is despised. He's still despised in a way of people speaking against him and saying awful things against him. But of course, if it's felt so in a person of God, God's people who are brought to love him, he's despised. Think of it, what he went through for you, what he suffered for you, what he bore in his own body on the tree for you. Oh, how he was afflicted. Oh, yet he opened not his mouth. Oh, in his love and in his pity he redeemed us. Friends, oh, what he went through. There it was, and I believe it should be acknowledged as God the Father laying on him the iniquity of the whole church. Or we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, friends. That's all of us here who are blessed with faith in Jesus Christ. If we're blessed with faith in Jesus Christ, all trust ungrounded will be put away from us. Oh, we must renounce everything of confidence that we have that's wrong. Oh, what is confidence that's wrong? Feeling self-righteousness, feeling self-esteem, feeling self-love, loving ourselves in a way of confidence that we can do things, we can manage. We can get through on our own. We cannot. Oh, friends, it's looking away from self to Jesus Christ, out of self to Jesus' lead. pouring in as intercede. We pray this to the Spirit of God. Oh, we pray, God, will by your Spirit so lead us to Christ. Oh, Christ formed in us a hope of glory. Christ and him crucified is all our theme and all our hope. Oh, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Think of gift. Christmas time we give gifts. Oh, how it's got all out of hand, friends, in these modern days. Oh, if we need to be praying to be kept. But friends, Jesus, the gift of gifts, appears to show that God is love, as he appeared to you, as God by the Spirit revealed him, as he given you to know him, as he given you to believe in him. Does the Spirit grant you faith and the maintaining of faith? Faith in the bleeding lamb. Faith in Jesus Christ. Is this the favour that you know? And is it the favour I know? Is this how we're living, friends? Living by faith? How the Apostle says, I live. That wonderful testimony of the dear Apostle Paul. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Surely there are those of us here, we can acknowledge that. We would ever be concerned not to be presumptuous, but the Lord does give us to be able to state this, and we should state it. We should make it known. And oh, if there are any of you here, you've been blessed and favoured. Christ is so precious to you, he's blessed you. Bless you with faith to believe in him. God the Spirit has given you to have the favour of faith to believe in Jesus. We should testify him, friends. We should tell of his love. Tell of his wondrous faithfulness. Sound his name abroad. We should, friends. There may be those there. The Lord knows you. If you're one of these here, he has blessed you. He's taught you well. He's blessed you. He's blessed you with favour of hope in his mercy. He's precious to you. Surely you should tell of his wonderful love. And in the way of the context of these words, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And like it goes on, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in good works of praise and honour and glory to God. There'll be no claim for your own salvation of them. You know that, you've been well taught that. But God requires his people, not for any merit or anything toward their salvation, but he requires his people to follow Christ, to honour God, to honour the Holy Spirit for what he's done in teaching and blessing and sealing the favours of forgiveness and pardon to his people. Oh, you should walk in them, friends. You should walk in them, in these good works of praise, honour and glory of your God. Amen.
Let us close with hymn 217. 217. Let Zion in her songs record the honours of her dying Lord, triumphant over sin. How sweet the song, there's none can say, but he whose sins are washed away, who feels the same within. Hymn 217.
do forgive anything there was seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word. Be with us and come up with us this evening, Lord, we pray. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.